to introduce the speaker.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It gives me great pleasure to introduce our speaker today, Sister Elaine Fiani. She's the wife of the assistant pastor, Pastor Eric Fiani, both members of the Apostolic Church for many years. She's a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, and a spiritual mother. She's also assistant woman's leader. She's serving the Lord longer than most of us on the line. She's a veteran. She knows the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And not just know the scriptures, but she knows the God of the Bible from her many years of walking with the Lord. She's anointed. She's an encourager, a prayer warrior, and an intercessor. And she ministers from time to time. She will be bringing God's word here today, this morning. And I'm just asking you now to sit back and listen to what she has to say from the throne of God. And so get yourself a pen and paper and take some notes and be blessed. And I'm also asking you, amens are appropriate, but please control your background sounds because this message will be placed on the website. So enjoy the message today, Sister Fiani. It's a pleasure to have you, and we are listening. God bless.
Thank you so much, Sister Barbara, for your kind introduction. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me. I'm blessing his holy name, asking his for anointing, and asking me to represent him in the best way I can. I'm thanking him today for this opportunity to share something from his word that is important in helping us to maintain a godly life. There are many things in his word we are told to do that pleases him. And as I go into the message, I'll remind us of some of these things as time allows. As I waited on the Holy Spirit to help me choose what I should present, he reminded me that obedience and submission is very important to God the Father, and it enables him to release good benefits and allow those who obey his word and his voice to come into an effective end. Father God, in the name of Jesus, the blessed name of Jesus, I present to you my voice, my mind, my soul. I represent you as an extension of your hand and your voice. And I pray, Holy God, that as your word go forth, the anointing will be upon your word. It is not by might, it is not by power, but by your spirit, said the Lord. We will hear from you, and you will do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or even think. In your holy and matchless name I go. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I want to remind us here that everything that we are instructed to do by the word of God is conditional. As we read, we will notice that just about every request from the Godhead starts with the word if. And just to give an example, James chapter 4, verse 8 says, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. Also, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land if my people who are called by my name obey. So let me now just spend a little time on the first part of my message. Remember my title, Obedience and Submission. So to obey. Now let's look again at Deuteronomy 4 verse 30. It reads, we read that if we turn to the Lord our God and obey his voice, he will be merciful and not forsake us or allow us to be destroyed if we obey his voice. Now, when we say obey his voice, what does that really mean? Can we really hear his voice? I say here yes, without reservation. When we read his word, that is his voice speaking to us. We are told that faith by which we walk cometh by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. So we can only hear if there is a voice. So here is where obedience comes in. Because God is a spirit, and he has given us a spirit, when we read his word, the Holy Spirit allows us to hear his voice and encourages us to obey. And this brings pleasure to Jesus, our Lord. In Isaiah 1, verse 19, we read that obedience to God's word is better to him than sacrifice. In Genesis 15, verse 6, we read that Abraham obeyed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. In Acts chapter 9, I will read a few verses to confirm the end result of obedience. So, just 1 minute. Acts chapter 9, I read verse 3. This is to show us the response to the word of God, obedience to the word of God, and the end result of our obedience. Now we're talking about Saul before he became Paul. Verse 3 says, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Obedience. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Verse 8, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they laid him by the hand, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. That's Saul's first response to the Lord, and in return his obedience. Now we jump down to verse 10, chapter 9, verse 10. Here is another form of obedience. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayed, and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that fall on your name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name. Obedience now. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul,
yes,
the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. I believe this is such a beautiful picture of obedience, response, and benefit. As we read, we realize that obedience turned things from evil to good. What Satan means for evil, God always turns it into good. And so Ananias also obeyed the voice of the Lord, and there was a powerful ending. Praise the Lord. So let me again emphasize the power and benefit of obedience, and that God's word and his commands are conditional. Here we have some more of what brings good benefit. One, if we repent from sin, benefit is God releases salvation.
Yes.
If we live by faith, benefit, we please God. If we are obedient, God releases righteousness, like we read before, that Abram obeyed God, caused God to release righteousness. If we love one another, we fulfill the law of Christ, a benefit. If we forgive, God will forgive us. If we learn to give, be it time and our money, others will see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Last but not least, if we exercise the fear of God, it allows us to get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Because we personally obeyed his command, which said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We believers can confirm that after we obeyed his word, confessed our sins, he saved us, which is the most beautiful ending of obedience. I present to you this morning the pleasure that we bring to God when we obey his voice. That's my little version of obedience at the beginning of my message. I present to you this morning the pleasure we bring to God when we obey his word, and the joy that he gets in giving us the benefit. We confessed our sin, We confessed that he was Lord. We believed his word. We obeyed his word. John 1 verse 12 says, "For as many as believe him, to them give he the power to become the Son of God, sons of God." And so we see that we have a part to play, and if we play our part, God will play his part. God cannot play his part unless we play our part. And as I have said before, and I am emphasizing, it is the word of God, it's conditional. If. That's the little section of obedience as I prepared it. So now let us take a quick look at submission, which is also very important to God for obedience and submission. It's a powerful and fulfilling combination. Praise the Lord. And we want to just thank God at this point that we obeyed him, that we received him, that we confessed him, and that we are living for him. We must remember that to maintain the walk until Jesus comes, obedience is top of the line as far as God is concerned. So, I just leave that with you, and I know each one of us should have deep within our spirit a voice saying, "Thank you, Lord, for receiving me after I became obedient to your instruction." You said, "If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and if I believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved." For those of us who have received him, confessed him, our name is now written in the Lamb's book of life because of obedience. Mm-hmm. Now, obedience cannot be effective without submission. So let us take a look at how to be submissive in obedience to the word of God. Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, please now understand. Sorry. Just as how Ananias was told to touch Saul so that the scales could be removed from his eyes, so that he would have been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light, we are asking you now to touch us and let the scales and the misunderstandings be removed from our spirit and our spiritual eyes, that we can see how to maintain the walk of a godly life. Here we go for our submission. I'm going to ask Sister Barbara to read another portion of scripture from 1 Peter 2, verse 13 to 15, verse 18. Sister Barbara, thank you.
1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 15 and verse 18. The scripture says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Bless God. Hallelujah. God's word, you know, we just have to give God thanks for asking us to work along with him. Because his word is plain, and the Holy Spirit quickens his word. And when we read his word, it's like we are being preached to. And the Holy Spirit enlightens our darkness. We thank God for sending Jesus. We thank Jesus for coming. And we thank Jesus for sending the Holy Spirit to come now and to teach us who Jesus really is. We are told that Jesus said, I must go. After his resurrection, I must go so that the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, would come. And when he comes, he would teach you all things, and he will not lie. And when he comes, he will be your comforter. He will be with you when you mourn. He is the one that will be able to help us in mourning and to comfort us. He is the one that would quicken our understanding with our mind. He is the one that when we pray and we pray a mixed up prayer, not knowing exactly how to put it to the Father, he is the one that straightens out the prayer and presents it in the way it should be presented to Jesus, our Lord. So, we want to give thanks, even at this moment, to the Holy Spirit, to the Godhead, the perfect, ordered Godhead, who thought about everything that man will need to make it home safely. And so we bless the Lord at this time. We bless the Holy Spirit. We thank him for quickening our spirit. And we know that we don't know everything. As we are told in 1 Corinthians 13, we know in part. We only know in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part that we know now will be done away with, and we will know everything. So there are great things that's ahead of us. The best is yet to come. We don't have any time to be wasted by what's going on in the world that confuses and scares. The Word of God said, when we see these things begin to come to pass, we should lift up our head. We should look up. We should rejoice because our redemption draweth nigh. And so that is what the Holy Spirit is expecting us to do. But as I said before, and I always say, the Word of God is conditional. So if we want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Word, if we want the Holy Spirit to dwell in us daily, we have to ask. Ask. He said, ask and you'll receive. If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. If you knock through the word, it will be open unto you. So we have a big job to do to maintain this walk. And if we do our part, God is more than excited to do his part. So we bless the Lord. And so obedience has been seated, and now submission, for obedience cannot be effective without submission. Submission to God's word brings a certain amount of freedom. It enables order and direction in our everyday life. If we take the word of God seriously and apply it, it makes it easier for us to submit one to another, be it in marriage, work life, church life, family life, or any other important area of our life. And having realizing the power of obedience makes us more able to submit to instructions and requests from the Word of God. This discipline, submission, is like an umbrella. It enables us to be respectful in our relationship with one another. It allows patience to listen and reason with one another. And if needed, to forgive if there is misunderstanding. For submission to God's authority brings the ability to use our sound mind with much wisdom. Our spirit bearing witness with his that we are making the right and godly decision. As I prepared this thought, I saw submission as an umbrella. And under this umbrella, I repeat, certain behavior is required. A respectful relationship goes a far way. I'm just going to take a little time to look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and 6 to confirm the power of submission. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5 and 6, and I read, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Praise the name of the Lord. Here we go again. The power of godly submission. It is humbleness. And so being humble, we receive the grace of God and the exaltation from God in due time. And as we see here, and I continue to stress, God requires humility continually, which also gives good consequence. Jesus was our perfect example and of what obedience and submission to the Father is like. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked the Father if there could be a change of plan. God did not respond. But when Jesus came to himself, he obeyed his Father's will and submitted to the purpose for which he came. And what a beautiful end result that was. Brethren, God did not change his plan. And so Jesus obeyed God's will and became our Savior. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
When he realized, when he took on the form of man, where he could feel all the stresses and the pains and the grunts and the groans, he said to his Father, "Father, can you change this plan? It's not easy. It's rough, it's tough, it's hard. Is there another plan? Is there another way I could deliver these, deliver mankind? Is there another way, a little easier way?" But God did not respond to that request from his Son. And his Son said, "Nevertheless." A big and beautiful word, "Nevertheless. Not my will, not my human will, but thy will, thy godly will and plan. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And I believe that was when the Holy Spirit quickened his human mind and reminded him that for this purpose came he into the world. And so he obeyed his Father's will and submitted to all that was laid out before him to pay for our great salvation. This we want to give him thanks for. We want to praise him. When he was on the cross, we were on his mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let us just give God a little bit of praise. This is so wonderful.
Not a little bit, lots of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for remembering me, Lord.
And because we became obedient.
Thanks is not enough, Lord.
And we received him as he said we should. And
hallelujah.
Today, we can walk in the beauty of salvation.
Yes,
I believe salvation is a down payment on eternal life.
Amen.
And so this is just the beginning of the best that's yet to come.
Hallelujah.
And he says in his word, you know, we should be more thankful.
Grateful.
Because he said unthankfulness is a sin.
That's right.
And he has done so much for us that we forget to thank him for. And so, you know, when the Holy Spirit quickens us and reminds us that we could stop a little bit, take a little time. Don't always come with requests.
That's right.
Take a little time and thank him
for all
he has done for us.
Hallelujah.
The salvation that he has given us, he didn't just say salvation. He said, how shall we escape
if we neglect
this great salvation? This great salvation. A lot of times we just take it for granted that we are saved. And we don't really pay much attention. And we don't really give him the kind of thanks he should get for this great salvation. And he said, it's not by might, not by what you do, not by the amount of works you do, not by anything you do. It's just by my spirit.
Hallelujah.
And this mountain of sin shall be removed.
Glory to God.
And be cast into the depth of the sea. He said, if we confess and turn, he shall forgive us.
Hallelujah.
Cast our sins in the sea and remember them no more. Isn't that a great salvation?
Glory.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So, I want to say to you, I believe if we want to spend eternity with Jesus, our Lord, his word will help us to be submissive and obedient as we try to walk holy and humbly before God. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. And we will be without excuse. Because he said, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you have it and you will get it. So what is our desire and what was our desire? Our desire was to be a child of the King, Our desire was to be baptized into his body. Our desire was to be made whole. And our desire now is to walk circumspectly before him. We can't do this in ourselves. We are told that we are living this life, but it is not us that's living this life. It's the Christ that's living in us. Because we tried earlier, before we met him, to live the life, and we couldn't live it. Mm. And we received him, and we became his sons and daughters. And now he is living the life for us through the Holy Spirit, but he wants us to cooperate with him. You know, he said, I don't just call you servants, because when we get saved, he said, go and make disciples of all men. So we are really made servants. But he said, I don't just call you servants, I call you friends. Because servants does not know what their masters are about, but friends know what friends are about. And so the song said, friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. He said he is a friend that's closer than a brother. I don't think there is anything else God Almighty could do to prepare us to make heaven our home. He has given his Son. He has given his Holy Spirit. He has given his Word. He has given servants, ministers, to continually remind us where we're going, from whence we came, and why we must work. We must work, walk holy and humbly before him. So, beloved, I have presented to you today the importance of the power and the benefit of being obedient and submissive to the word and the will of God. May the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory, after we have suffered a while, strengthen us, steady us, stabilize us, perfect us, and give us peace. And may the God of all grace, through his Holy Spirit, enable us to continue walking obediently and submissively to the will of God. May the grace of God be with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.